Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Relax Into Love podcast. I am really excited for those of you joining me on this video. I'm going to be doing a video stream right now, and we're going to be recording this for our podcast. I have two incredible, incredible guests here today to talk about long distance relationships. So I'd love to welcome Sam LaLiberte and Jared Schachter. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. So excited to be
Absolutely. Yeah,
here.
definitely.
Beautiful, beautiful. Sam and Jared are really good friends of mine back from the Uber days when I was working in San Francisco and in the trenches there. And now it's so beautiful to see just how much your guys' relationship has bloomed since then and how we've both been able to just like all three of us grow beautiful businesses outside of the corporate world. I wanted to specifically interview Sam and Jared today because they have been masters at doing the LDR, as they call it, right? The long distance relationship. And today is actually their anniversary. So what a beautiful way to start off celebrating this anniversary and talking about love, talking about how you guys have been able to manage and sustain this crazy long distance relationship. Are you guys, tell me, are you guys still in a long distance relationship or have you guys moved together now?
We're still semi-long distance because of COVID. We decided very quickly we'd rather just be quarantined together. So we've been together for now probably 5 weeks without ever leaving each other's sight. But
I think longer at this point. COVID's been
probably
a few months
more.
now. It's going by fast.
Yeah, but before that, it would be a couple months together, a couple months apart, a couple months together, which for a lot of people think sounds like a lot. But when we were true long distance, when he was fully living in San Francisco and didn't have the flexible lifestyle we had now, we would go 5 days together and then a month and a half apart, 5 days together. So we've tried all different mixes.
And that is so impressive. And I think it's especially poignant to talk about this right now because of the world that we're in right now with quarantining and social distancing. I imagine that many of our listeners and viewers right now have been experiencing their own version of a long distance relationship. Even if they're honey and sweethearts just down the street, right? It can still feel like a long distance relationship if we don't get to actively see them. So tell me, in your eyes, what does it mean to be in a long distance relationship? And do you feel that they are sustainable?
Well, I think one of the things we've learned is there's a million, and as we've also experienced, there's so many different definitions of a long distance relationship, and it is really unique to each couple, not only in how often they're seeing each other and how far apart they are, but also how they approach that long distance relationship. So I really think it's any type of couple that doesn't spend, well, I think it's basically every couple at some point is usually in some sort of long distance relationship, whether it's one person going away for work, one person going to see their family and the other staying at home. So you really think when you're thinking about a long distance relationship, I don't think there's one definition. So that's the answer to the first part. And then the second part in terms of sustainability, we've personally experienced that it is sustainable. And in many ways, if you approach it thoughtfully, and are willing to put in the effort, it can have many benefits beyond just a regular traditional non-long distance relationship that you might think about, and which I'm sure we'll talk a bit about as the interview progresses.
Yeah, definitely. What would you say has been, some of the challenges of a long distance relationship for the two of you guys?
For me, the first thing that always comes to mind is the sad days. You inevitably have bad days, you have hiccups in your life, things where you could just really use that physical touch and like a cuddle or a hug with your partner. And on those days, I found it really hard to not physically be able to be with my partner and in the same room. On the good days, it just adds to your life. And we'll talk about kind of the benefits, but for me, it was really just those days where I could just really use like a physical touch from him and just snuggling together and not being able to have that. It just made what was already a sad day feel even worse.
And I know I've been there myself too, and it really, really it sucks. It really sucks. So tell me a little bit about, well, first off, how long have you guys been managing this long distance relationship? And what were some of the things that you did right away to just help kind of make those days easier?
Well, it's now been, this is our anniversary day of 4 years dating.
Through, since we met. Yeah, we count it from the night we met, yeah. Basically.
So in the night we met. And as mentioned, it's been various. We've literally done every iteration of a long-distance relationship, from fully long-distance to partially long-distance to now not leaving each other's side for multiple months. But when we have been long-distance and are facing some of those days, I think it's really about trying to be there for the person. And even though you have your own life, and that's one of the benefits of being in a long distance relationship, it's really important to prioritize and think about how that other person might be feeling that day or doing that day, and not get caught up in your own life. So one of the things that we definitely did was although we approached it not necessarily having to be on long video calls each day and spending all of our time that way, although we did do that at times during the week, we would definitely do check-ins, a good night message and a hello message, either by text or video or audio message. And that was definitely one of the ways that we would stay connected and make sure that each of the other person's doing all right. And then if something came out in one of those messages, you can't always connect real time because of different time zones, then we would make sure that we could address that and prioritize it the next day, like some sort of connection through video call set aside time. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, there's so many ways I want to take this conversation, because what you guys have done and are doing has just, it blows my mind, because I think for so many people and so many women, especially in the early phases, you know, there's so much anxiety and there's so much insecurity in the relationship anyway, right? And then you throw in distance on top of that. And it's just like, how in the world are you supposed to know, you know, are they hanging out with other women, or are they, you know, do they really care about me? Do they really want to invest? I would love for you to talk about like some of the, maybe the insecurities, or how you had to build up your own confidence to trust each other. And did that put pressure on the relationship in those early phases?
Yeah, I think something that's really noteworthy about our experience is we met when we were both living in Toronto, Canada, but the night we met, he knew he was moving to San Francisco 3 months later. So the expectation of spending the next 3 months together, it was always that it was coming to an end. Jared was pretty upfront. He wasn't looking for a long distance relationship. He didn't believe in them. He didn't think they could work. I kind of felt the same way, but I'm kind of an open person. We'll see how I feel then. But the expectation was just 3 months of fun. And because of that, I feel like we were able to let our guard down, and we did fall in love and ended up having a beautiful summer together that we decided it was worth trying long distance. But we'd only known each other for maximum 4 months before he was in another country, 3 time zones apart. So all of those insecurities of a new relationship of, can I trust him? How much does he care about me? Where is this going? Is he going to prioritize me? He has this new exciting life in San Francisco. I'm still in Toronto. All those things came up, and we're reflecting. Last night we had a special anniversary dinner, and you know, right now we're reaping the benefits and everything seems perfect and happy, but we can't forget about all of those challenging times that happened at the beginning where we could have walked away so many times over the 4 years. I'd be lying if I didn't say I questioned walking away. He questioned walking away. There were so many hard things that we had to overcome as a couple, but because we stuck through it and we were intentional and thoughtful and persevered, like, we now get to smile on our 4-year anniversary and things are looking great. And we're engaged, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's great. I remember seeing a post about that.
Yeah. I just remembered. Yeah. During COVID.
I totally forgot. You know.
So yeah, like it did not come without its hardships. But you know, we're riding that high right now. I've got the ring, got the future together, and yeah. We got 4 years behind us.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Did you feel that it put pressure on the relationship, recognizing that you guys wanted to try the long distance thing, but you hadn't really maybe established labels or putting it into the next phase yet?
Definitely. And I'll let you jump off of this, but I think one thing we've really reflected on is how quickly it accelerated the seriousness of our relationship. Because if you're going to effectively have a long distance relationship, there's effort, you're prioritizing. It is not easy. You can't just say, hey, want to come over and watch Netflix, or there's a sporting event, I have tickets, do you want to come? Every date, every moment of connection, every communication is that much more of an effort that you need to decide decide early on how serious you are about this person and is it quote unquote worth it. So I think for that reason, it accelerated how serious we got because we had to talk about long-term or like, what are we even doing? So that's what I'll comment on.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Your conversations are also, I mean, you're just talking to the person mostly. So you get, and both of us like to have kind of deep conversations and not surface level. But you're also kind of forced to, because if you want to have talk to the person, let's say even if you're talking on video for a couple hours a week, like that's, there's, you don't want to, you don't just want to share updates of your day. Even if it's a short period of time, like it's nicer to have conversations. I also think there's a lot of pressure from like friends and family and past experience basically saying, you know, I'm going to San Francisco in this new life chapter. It's going to hold me back. There's just a lot of stigma and like preconceived notions around long distance relationships and what they should look like. And in some cases, maybe it would have held me back. Like if we hadn't done a lot of this thing to communicate what our long distance relationship would look like, that would work for both of us. It probably wouldn't have worked. And if it did work, it wouldn't have enhanced our life. It would have held us back because we would have done it in a way that didn't work for us.
Yes. I love that you touch on that, Jared. And I'd love for you guys to kind of like double down on that. Did you guys kind of set up rules or expectations before this all happened so that you guys could be on the same page with it? Or did it kind of gradually develop over time?
I think a bit of both, for sure. We both knew that we didn't want some of the long distance relationships we had seen, which was around like, you know, everyday messaging for the entire day and then being like a 2 or 3 hour video call each night. And it just, and every, there's all this obligation to be always chatting to that person. So immediately we definitely addressed that, which is like texting during the day, but we had like a couple set aside times for calls each week. And then everything in terms of that and from video call, Zoom, whatever calls was like icing on the cake versus an expectation. Because both of us are pretty independent. We have our own lives. We wanted to be enjoying our life. And we wanted this to enhance our life and not really hold us back. So that was one of the first things that we really, probably one of the first discussions around what that would look like, because that's an obvious one. But then, and we haven't talked about the book that we ended up creating, but in the book, we talk about some of the other things and that you should agree on and talk about prior to getting into a long distance relationship, because each one is different and maybe you can talk about some for you, but.
Yeah, I think a big one that we had to figure out is how you're going to solve conflict from a distance. You can't just get in the same room, hug it out. When you see your partner in person, I don't know, personally for me, I can be just a lot more soft and gentle and you can hug them and you can, in our experience, recover much more quickly than just text and just letters. And it can get heated so quickly. And we've all been there, even if you're not long distance, maybe your partner is at the store and you're arguing over, I told you to get this. No, you didn't. And so we came up with a code emoji where if someone is feeling not good about where the conversation is going, or maybe a previous message they received, they would just send that particular emoji. For us, it was the upside down smiley face. And then the other person knew, okay, like either I'm going to read you my message, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, I'm going to prioritize this conversation and fix this as quickly as possible. So I think conflict from a distance was huge too.
And then even another, I think, important one is how often and how you're going to see each other. So, I mean, there's all conversations you don't even really think about when you're going to a long distance relationship, but how much communication there needs to be. There could be completely different expectations around that. So like maybe one person was like, okay, every other weekend we'll be flying from Toronto to San Francisco back and forth, or do we have longer stints but less often, or do we meet in a different destination for vacation? And like, what happens when we see each other? Is one person expected to take time off work? Like there's all these conversations that some we knew about because the obvious ones we'd seen, which is like, you know, how often do we want to be texting and calling and messaging? But then these other ones kind of come up as you go, which takes a lot of communication, which is also what built a good foundation for the longer term relationship, because you have to be able to overcome these differences in opinion.
Yeah, I can imagine communication is just so key in all of this, because that's really all, most of what you have to build a relationship on, during those times apart.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to kind of take it another sideway and get Sam's honest opinion about, I know sometimes, you know, when we haven't been able to see our partner for a while, like we can get into the crazy girl mode, right? Where we just get super anxious and we start second guessing ourselves and our mind chatter starts coming in. Did you ever have some of those moments? And what did you do to kind of get grips on things and come back to your center so that you didn't kind of like show that you were being this crazy person to this potential partner?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely showed it sometimes, for sure. I wish I could say I kept it in more, but I think something that I really would love to mention here in terms of just my personal development journey in general, that I think a lot of women might be able to relate to who have had multiple partners. So when I met Jared, when we would talk about, okay, like what is our baggage? What is our thing we're going to have to work through? I would always say, I'm a jealous person. I'm jealous. I got cheated on in high school. Every guy has maybe cheated on me and I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I was just holding on to this identity of like, I'm a jealous person, not questioning, am I actually a jealous person or was it like situational? And so because I held on to that identity, anytime a situation would come up, I would go back into that old place where I just assumed it was going to be like every other relationship. I'm jealous. Here's how I'm going to act. He's going to have to like completely change his life for me. And just like a lot of the work I've done of figuring out who I am, I realized that like I was just putting that label on myself and I'm not actually a jealous person. I had just reacted in a certain way based on the circumstance. And Jared has never given me any reason to not trust him. But at the beginning, I would look to any excuse to bring back that old behavior. And he was very open to a lot of the conversations. Some things that come to mind that I'll talk about is when he was in San Francisco, I remember one night in particular, he had won tickets to like a concert and he just, without even talking to me, was bringing a female colleague and it just did not sit with me well. And it was a big fight and a big conversation about like what is appropriate and like what are our comfort levels and what are we playing with when it comes to the opposite sex being in a heterosexual relationship. And it, from when I tell the story to some people have reacted like, wow, that's very controlling. Like you literally had rules around, well, that's considered a date. Lunch one-on-ones are okay, but dinner maybe is not appropriate. And I just don't think you can judge any relationship because I was working through my past trauma of like what I'm comfortable with. He was willing to meet me halfway with what he would thought was reasonable, but absolutely like trusting from a distance was something that we really had to figure out. Like, what are we okay with? He still wants to have female friendships. He like has a lot of female friends that he wanted to keep some of them. And like, what are we working with? I have no male friends. I'm a girl's girl. So I was like, I don't get it. Why do you need to hang out with all of these girls? But figuring out like, what is that person and what am I working with? And not letting my previous relationships determine how this one was going to work, I think is huge.
Yeah, that's really powerful. So it sounds like a big takeaway was you really setting aside your own time to work through your stuff and not bringing that into your new relationship and seeking the help that you needed or the reflections to be able to process through that.
And saying what our triggers are, like that's a chapter we have in our book too, of just like, okay, what are actually your triggers? What is a thing that when I do it, like brings back an old memory, an old experience? And for me, it was him just not even thinking to ask me to go to this concert with a girl, which we came to terms with, I'm open, but can you run it by me first before you already make that decision and we can talk about it. And he agreed that that was fair and that has come up and he has had one-on-one experiences and outings with females. And it's just how you go about the situation that I think means all the difference to making your partner comfortable, knowing that that's a trigger for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything you want to add, Jared, from your side? Is there such thing as crazy guy syndrome? I'm sure there can be.
Yeah. I mean, definitely it takes a lot of effort and communication. Like these conversations weren't easy. Like we would be, and especially you're on the phone and like, you know, she's saying her side and then you just want to revert back to your completely defending it because you, in your mind, there is nothing, I guess, negative in your thought. Like I didn't even process it from that point of view. So just saying like, these aren't easy conversations. They come up often. It takes times. Like it took a lot of different iterations of it happening in different ways to like continue to find the middle ground and understand for me to trust that, like, you know, I'll here are the situations that I should run by Sam. And I trust that when I run it by Sam, she'll be reasonable in her response and based on the conversations we've had and the trust that we've built together. It takes time and effort is definitely something I would add to that. And in terms of crazy guy syndrome,
I think for you, it's like scared you're losing your independence.
Yes.
And your free will.
Yeah.
Like anytime you,
so then
like-
it's the exact opposite. I have the exact opposite reaction, which is like, what am I allowed to do versus, and that also comes when we're together too, like, cause we've been used to being apart. I'm an independent guy who's more introverted, I guess. So then when we're together, it's like, the trigger is more around like, can I ask for my own time to just recharge myself, which is how I recharge more than like through social reaction interactions. So that's where it comes up for sure for me. And then it's like, I don't actually need to spend time alone, but I feel like I just need to ask for the opportunity to spend time alone. And then if I'm able to spend time alone, I'm like, oh, I actually want to be with Sam, but just knowing that the option's kind of there, I guess that's my crazy guy syndrome.
Yeah.
Men are allowed to feel crazy too. Yeah. What you guys have navigated is something really, really special. What would you say are kind of, if someone is potentially thinking about being in a really long distance relationship, or maybe they've just started one, what would you say are like the core values that can really be helpful to maintain that and ensure success or a better version of success with that?
I would say one of the main things that I've learned a lot from Sam is like being open to influence from your partner. So that's like can be short-term influence around like how you communicate in your long distance relationship, how much time you spend talking, how often you see each other, but then also open to influence in terms of like lifestyle and how you plan on living. So that was another thing. When you're in a long distance relationship, you probably are living in different places. So where are you going to end up living? What type of lifestyle will that look like? It doesn't even need to be one place. If you want to be digital nomad type people, that's also cool. But basically like open to influence from both sides, I think is extremely important. And I think opens up so many more doors. Like otherwise you're operating out of, I had this vision of what I thought life could be, but that was based on my own vision of what I had seen in my life. But if you're able to be open to the influence of the other person, you can combine your two visions into one that's actually much greater.
Yeah, so, co-creation.
But I think that's, especially is it like a guy in his 20s when you met who thought he knew what he wanted to do or what life should be, like that took some time to start to, I guess, get ingrained and see that that's the way that it should be done and the benefits. Well, not necessarily the way it should be done, but there's a lot of mm-hmm. benefits.
I know I always smile when we have these opportunities to talk about where we're at now, because so many people are like, oh, you guys are such an amazing couple, such a perfect couple. We get a lot of accolades and it's like, yeah, we are really solid. But just like even just thinking about so many of those conversations, like when we first had met, he would say, I basically want to completely recreate my childhood for my kid. I had a great childhood. I loved Vancouver. It was perfect. That's what my future is. And I was like, oh, wow, I want mine to look nothing like mine. Like there's so many millions of more opportunities. And just like literally that is how different we are as people. It's just, I have no idea, haven't even thought about it. I'm going to dream it up as I go, compared to someone who's like, this is like the box that I'm going to work with. And me being like, okay, I'm cool with this box. I'm like, okay, I'll come in here. But like, can we also tweak? And yeah, it's, we're laughing, but a lot of times we weren't.
Yeah, no, I imagine. So you said being open to influence and maybe changing your opinion, visioning and co-visioning together of something that you guys are working toward. What are some of the other values that would be really helpful for other ladies that are potentially going into relationships like this or are already in it that can really be successful?
I think like beginner's mind is kind of what we were talking about. I think that's so helpful for women that have had previous relationships that assume it's going to go a certain way. Every single person that comes into your life, they've had so many different of experiences. Like, and for me, I find that so beautiful of just, it can completely change your life and it's completely new and it's nothing like anything before. And just like having that mindset of beginner mindset, I think was so huge for me. I think alignment is so key, and just assuming that, not assuming that the other person has the same expectations as you. So like over communicate.
Don't assume anything for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. No assumptions, just over communicate. We talk so much, and thank goodness that he's down for that, because honestly, I've had previous relationships where just shut down. I'm not interested in having this conversation. We've had this conversation before, Sam. I know you're jealous. We've talked about it. And it's like, that doesn't work. And I'm so grateful that Jared would be like, let's go again. You want to talk about this again? I'll make some tea. You want to talk this out more? You're not good. Okay. Let's sit down. It's 4 a.m. We've been talking. And like, that's what needed to happen for us sometimes. So over communicate and just make sure you're clear and just like really just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't assume. I think actually been crazy for me to see like, especially us, because we don't live in one place and we're switching around, and our job, we don't have necessarily like one steady job, so our life month to month changes all the time. And every time that you change your situation, work, even yeah, like change where you're living, spending that month, but also change your work or whatever else is happening in your life, there's some family thing, like there's so many assumptions that you make based on your own view that after the fact you're like, oh, I guess we probably should have talked about that or mentioned it. Like an example is like each August we try to go with my family to our cottage for a few weeks, and like for the first time I'd been doing freelance work and so had she, and then we get there and it was like no one had ever worked when they're there, so my family had expected everyone to just be family time and not work, and we hadn't talked about what that meant, and I just assumed like, oh, Sam would be fine with it, we just have to, and the family will be fine with it. And there's just so many examples like that, that you just don't even really think about. And in the moment it can get heated and you, cause you feel like, doesn't seem like I thought about her or vice versa, but it's key to just try your best and work through those issues when they arise and trying to preempt them. So when we do go into a new situation, we're like, okay, what does day-to-day life look like in this situation? What do we want weekends to look like? What kind of trips do we want to be doing? What does this want to look like together? And because sometimes you have completely different views of what that month could look like.
And I would just add that it can sound very overwhelming to think you have to preempt every single situation. And sometimes even just hearing that makes us tired thinking about it. It's like, oh, I didn't even know we had to talk about how we were going to handle that situation. We just had faith and we trusted. And honestly, that's okay too. I think in those situations where you didn't talk through, okay, here's how it's going to go, here's how we're going to react, because you can't do that in life. Things move fast. Things are changing. Then it's, I think the value that comes up there is more just like perseverance and having like being willing to get better and improve over time, because every single time we do something a second time, it's so much better. So like the second August, sure, yeah, the following year, we were so much better suited because we knew what things were going to come up. We talked about them ahead of time and we were good.
Yeah.
The first time he spent a long time with me in Toronto, it was our first time 6 weeks together, not leaving. We had so much shit come up about, well, like when are we going to have our independent time? And that's when we really realized Jared needs that. The second time he came to Toronto, we were prepared for it. I knew what to do. I knew how to support him. So it's like, if you can't talk about everything ahead of time, just be okay with improving over time, because it happens if you both stick with it.
Yeah, beautiful. And it really, I mean, a lot of these lessons that you guys are sharing that you've learned, I think can apply to just all relationships in general, right? Like these are the foundational pillars that really form a really healthy, strong relationship. And now moving into being engaged and getting married, like I think you guys can both say, okay, yes, like we've wrung out the towel of all the things that could get crunchy so that we can actually just have a really nice base now to flourish and thrive from. So
there's definitely a lot more things that could get crunchy.
Our wedding, planning the wedding will be crunchy. How we decide
will be crunchy. Absolutely.
But we're up for it. We know. Yeah. We're not. We know.
I'm right there with you. Planning a wedding in quarantine coronavirus times is just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting engaged in Corona was also weird. Like yeah. It's things are weird.
Yeah, but you roll with it. And I love that you're just reflecting on this. Like, even if you don't get it right, it's okay as long as you have that foundation of just open communication. And I think that is just such a huge takeaway from this conversation so far. Are there any other big benefits that you've noticed from actually being in a long distance relationship that have actually helped you to strengthen your relationship besides communication?
I think I guess, effort, probably. Like, you have to put in effort to sustain a long distance relationship. You, as I think we mentioned this earlier in the conversation, you can't just like Netflix and chill each night and like not come up with unique ideas to stay connected.
Yeah,
and
I
not
think how
to,
we plan stuff.
Yeah,
now.
Plan stuff. Yeah, that's true. We're both planners in general, but definitely like planning experience, like planning like experiences, like peak experiences, we call them, where like whenever we're, even when we're in living day-to-day life, like we try to plan once in a while things that are like great memories that we'll have that we'll do together. So whether that's like planning a trip in the future or within trips, like planning little things that are happening, because for the beginning of our relationship, like that's what we had, which is like 4 or 5 days to create like a great experience together and a great memory.
And co-create.
And yeah. So, and yeah, each create the general thing together, but have mini surprises, try to sprinkle them in. That's
like
usually
this weekend.
Yeah. Like this weekend. Yeah. Like this weekend, we're planning on going camping together. But then there was different small things that have been happening as like mini surprises, I guess. Versus like one person having to take the whole load of the whole thing on them, on their shoulders. Even when, for example, Sam came to visit me in San Francisco, like I wasn't expected to create the whole thing myself and take her all around. But like I did a lot of it the first time, but she had these other things she had looked up and wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that's has shaped our relationship now. Like whenever we try to have a special weekend, we'll like, it's filled with different surprises from the other person. This interview this morning was a surprise. I thought it'd be so great to start our anniversary talking about love and our relationship. And he'll have some surprises for me, I'm sure, over the next couple of days. And just like little things like that, I think has really applied to our current relationship. And then the other thing I'll note is I really feel like it extends the honeymoon period. I really do. Distance does make the heart grow fonder. And 4 years, if we had been in the same city seeing each other every day, I'm not saying that's negative, but I do think the fact that we've had so much time apart, like I do feel like we're still in the honeymoon phase. And when things go back to normal, I think we will still continue to have long stretches of periods apart, given our families are at different sides of the country.
Yeah. The honeymoon phase also can go like we're in the honeymoon, but then it's like, let's say when you spend lots of time together, we don't feel like we're in the honeymoon phase. You get a bit of time apart and recharge, and then it's kind of like a reset button. So that's also great as well. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And it really speaks to the volume of your guys' own independence and being independent people. And that's something that I talk about so much, is that we really want to create not just a codependent double sphere where the two bubbles of each other are intermingling with each other, but that we're actually creating a third sphere that's bigger than the two of you individually.
Yeah.
Right. And it seems like
that's great. Yeah.
Been able to cultivate that, where you're able to really maintain your own independence, your own complete independent lives in other cities, and then create this other beautiful sphere, your little La La Land bubble honeymoon sphere that you get to jump into and play in. So I guess it'll be interesting when you guys are married, you know, how you guys continue to navigate that and potentially even keep this kind of structure in some way, to continue to give yourself that breathing space within the relationship.
I will say one, just on the topic of independence, one thing that I've seen not work a lot of the time is differences in the level of independence each partner wants. And that was what me as a guy was most worrisome going into a long distance relationship, because I'd seen friends who would do it. And in those cases, the guy wanted to have a bit more independence, and the girl of my guy friends and the girl was like always wanting to talk and not let them kind of do their thing. And that is what created an awkward situation for the guy and ended up bringing its demise in a couple of the situations I had seen. So allowing each other to maintain independence, I think, is one of a key factor to success, for sure.
And that often comes up with heterosexual relationships. I find a lot of the women listening, I'm sure, can relate. I feel like male friends put so much pressure on each other about how often they're spending with their partner and, you know, how free they are, which my female friends are happy for me when they hear that we're spending all this time together and it's so cute. And oh, you guys are so lovely. You like to do everything together. I think that is a reality and that we've had to overcome and deal with of just like, how much are we going to let other people's expectations of what our lives and our relationship should look like affect how it is. Because it's about me and you. So why? And that was a lot easier for me, but for him, that was something he had to work through and be okay with.
Yes. So, so good. Definitely. Definitely. Oh, I could talk to you guys all day long. This is so good. So good. But I want to talk about the long distance relationship playbook that you guys put together.
Because I have it right here.
Such a valuable, valuable resource that you guys have just totally birthed together, right? So tell me about this. What is this and what is it for?
I do the pitch.
You do the elevator.
You guys just like 1 second.
The name is the LDR Activity Book, the Long Distance Relationship Activity Book. So essentially, we had seen from our experience in long distance relationship how much things there are that you need to overcome and deal with as a couple. And we had wanted, so we decided we had learned a lot, and we then took our experience, interviewed dozens of other long distance couples. And my mom is also a therapist who focuses on couples. So we combined those three things and created an activity book that essentially is supposed to be very fun and light, but at the same time helps you get aligned and be prepared for all these different situations that come up as a long distance couple. And even as it's meant for long distance couples, but I mean, as we've been seeing here, it's also been a lot of fun for people we know who aren't in long distance relationship, because there's tons of different activities that you do together to get on the same page and learn more about each other. Yeah,
each chapter basically has a foundational topic. So it can be about trust or communication or planning the future. So you have different conversations and activities you do separately, and then you come together and share notes, and then you do an activity together. So it's very much an activity book rooted in foundational conversations and alignment that you should have. And yeah, we're so proud of it.
That's fantastic. I love that. Can you give me just a little snippet, a little sneak peek of like one of the activities, just to kind of whet our appetite?
Yeah. Which one? I like the bucket list one.
That's what I was going to say. So I think that applies to any type of relationship.
Yeah, that applies to any type of relationship. So basically, especially when you're a long distance relationship, but in any relationship, it's important to understand where you guys are heading. And this is especially important in a long distance relationship, as we talked about earlier, because you can't really just default into it, because you can't just be, kind of half dating somebody and just hang out with them. You are choosing to be in this relationship and you have to put effort into it. So one of the activities talks a little bit about that. And it's called What's the Plan Anyways? So What's the Plan? And essentially you each create a bucket list of things you want to have happen over the next period of time.
Like your own bucket list.
Your own bucket list.
Because everyone has their own bucket list. Like, it's the idea of like making a shared bucket list.
So then it's like, you know, mine, I'd want to go travel to Japan, and her might be, I want to go live in Italy, or I want to get some sort of job or whatever. And then you come together and you create a bucket list together based on those things, which either includes those things you already wrote or modifications of those that you want to complete together.
So a relationship bucket list.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. And it ties into what you were saying about one of these core values about co-visioning together, which is so, so important.
And also being aware of your partners. Like, I think it's so cool to know like what his dreams are. And even though that's not my dream or shared dream, the more people know about your dreams, they can make it happen for you, right? So it's cool to know about like what his personal things are, what my personal things are, and just being so excited when that person achieves that, because you know it's their dream bucket list.
Yeah, I love that. I so love that. Oh my gosh. Well, I am so, so grateful to just have you both out here on this podcast, on this incredible interview. And for anyone that is listening that would like to get their own copy of it, I'm going to leave a link down below for you guys to jump on over to their website and order one ASAP. I know these have been like flying off the shelves, especially during this time right now. So
we have actually seen a lot more sales. It's been fun.
Yeah. And I'm so impressed at how you guys have just really been able to come together and create a project together. And I'm sure that's really aided in your long distance relationship as well.
Like a whole nother thing.
A project to work on together.
Having a business together. Yeah.
Together. Yeah. And getting to really share both of your amazing skill sets and like create something like a little baby together.
Yeah.
So I'm just so, so proud of the two of you. And I'm just so honored to know you and have gotten to see this develop over such a beautiful amount of time. So yeah, if anyone wants to get a copy of that, I highly recommend it. It is an epic, epic book. I definitely want to be using some of those exercises even for my own relationship, just to continue to bring sparks and bring fun and bring joy into it in new ways. So I'll leave the link down below. And anything else you guys want to add? Any advice you want to share? Last comments before we wrap up?
You have any?
Just stick with it. I feel like I've seen...
I kind of was thinking that too, actually, yeah.
I have a lot of amazing female friends who are beautiful and ambitious and are just so incredible, and I've watched them date. So I think people that are single who are kind of going through that, I would say just like stick with it. I kissed a lot of frogs before I found this prince king, and it's been amazing. And but I would also just say, like, don't let superficial shit stop you from finding the man of your life, the dream of your life. And we had so much superficial stuff that came up at the beginning of our relationship, or like, oh, he does this, or oh, she does this, or like this one little thing. And those aren't even on my radar anymore. And I'm so glad I didn't let something like that prevent me from what I have now. So that would be my advice.
I think that's great.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Sam and Jared, so much. It's been such a pleasure getting to talk with you. And I cannot wait to see pictures from your wedding whenever that happens.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, ladies. I'll talk with you soon. Oh, I'm sorry. Not ladies. Jared, you're not a lady here. Ladies and gents, so wonderful. So wonderful. We'll talk soon.
Awesome.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another amazing episode of the Relax Into Love podcast. If you are loving what you're hearing, please, I would love for you to write me a heartfelt review. It means so much for the success of this podcast. And honestly, I love hearing what really hits home for your soul and the feedback. Really, I read every piece of it. So definitely pop me a love note and share this with a friend. Share this with someone who you know could really use this message today. And let's keep spreading the love. Until next time.